Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. You found a poem this week that was published in BMJ. I think it's a fascinating poem. It deals with screening. We know that depression is common. We are told it's somewhere around 6% of the world's population. We know that depression has cultural overtones, and you know, it's not like acute abdomen or something where everybody sort of has the same experience. We know that symptoms of depression are prevalent amongst our primary care patients. When there is an absence of screening, it's estimated that only 50% of patients with major depression will be identified. So that the thinking is that screening can be very effective. In theory, systematic screening carries lots of potential benefits. Untreated depression is associated with decreased quality of life, an increased risk of suicide, and poor physiologic outcomes when depression co-occurs with other chronic medical conditions. Just a reminder that when we think of screening, whether it's colorectal screening or depression, we want the screening test to be easy to administer. We want to make sure that there's a treatment for whatever it is. We tend not to screen for things that there is absolutely no treatment for. And in something like depression, we want to know that untreated depression is associated with bad things, in this case, decreased quality of life. But you'll know, since you all listen to this podcast regularly, that the true test of whether or not a screening test is effective is a trial in which patients are randomly assigned to either a screening group or a non-screening control group. And only then can they be compared over time for outcomes related to a condition being screened. In today's poem, that condition is depression. Mark, you've got some news for us on this topic. You found a poem that was published in the BMJ recently. It attempts to answer the clinical question, to what extent does universal screening for depression in primary care improve the lives of our patients? Mark?
Yeah, this is, I think, a very good summary of the evidence published in BMJ. They've been publishing some excellent systematic reviews and guidelines recently. And so the universal screening for primary care patients is currently not recommended by the UK's National Institute for Healthcare and Care Excellence or the Canadian Task Force, but it is recommended by the US Preventive Services Task Force, provided that there are mechanisms in place so that patients who are screen positive can get appropriate follow-up care. So the authors of this review use systematic reviews from these groups as the basis for their analysis, and they augmented them with search for randomized trials that also look for the benefits associated with screening. So not just the accuracy, but also benefits. And the available studies used a variety of screening tools and a variety of outcomes. The outcomes included things like general mental health or depression symptoms, or actually meeting diagnostic criteria for major or minor depression. So the authors provided an estimate of the yield of screening. So if you assume that 5 out of 100 primary care patients have undiagnosed depression at any given visit, 18 would screen positive with a score of at least 10 on the PHQ-9, but about 3/4 of those would be false positive. So that means that about 4 out of the 18 patients actually have depression. I think that it's a really important point. You know, sometimes we use these screening tests inappropriately as diagnostic tests. And the screening tests like a PHQ-9 or even the PHQ-2, the two-question screener that a lot of folks use or are familiar with, they're screeners. They're not very specific. They're very sensitive, but they will misidentify a lot of patients who are really not depressed. They may have a couple of depressive symptoms, but they don't have major depression and they don't need drug therapy. So we shouldn't be throwing medication at all 18 of those patients who screen positive. We need to talk to them about the constellation of symptoms, the impact on their function, things like that, in order to make a decision about treatment. So bottom line, this is kind of a glass half full, glass half empty. On the one hand, you might say it found 4 out of the 5 primary care patients who are depressed, but it also mislabeled 14 patients, and we have to be careful not to overtreat those folks in primary care.
Yeah. No, very important. I think that particularly with more junior trainees and doctors, that they are, as you're saying, using this as a diagnostic test. And once they get to a PHQ-9, of 12 or 14 or something, out come the prescription pads or the referrals to a therapist. And, the therapist perhaps is not unreasonable if the patient agrees, but the medication, as you're saying, it may be appropriate, but it certainly requires further delving into the patient's symptoms and life experiences.
Yeah, I mean, the estimates from some other studies are that you have to screen about 100 primary care patients to find one additional or to generate one additional treatment remission 6 to 12 months later. So, even of those four people who are depressed, you're not going to be benefiting all four of them. So I think the benefits are more modest than we think, but they exist. It's not that they don't exist, but they're, we got to put it into context.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again in a week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem. We'll be right back.